The text for meditation is taken from Isaiah 9:6 and Matthew 1:21. And I shall read. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Shall now turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew 1 verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The Lord bless the reading of his inerrant word.
A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 1. We all understand how important a good name is, and the word of God concurs. It's better than precious ointment, and the day of one's birth than the day of one's death. When a person is born into this world, he has his life ahead of him. How will this life be lived out? At the end of a person's life, when a person remember your name, will it bring fond memories? Will it be a good name? Because it is a good name. The Bible here says that the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. But we know that there are certain names on this earth that will conjure in our mind terrible, terrible events. The name Hitler. It is a name that is banned in Germany. Read in the paper some time back where German parents desired to name their son Hitler. The government refused to allow that poor baby to be named Hitler. That name conjures mass murder, the Holocaust. It's an evil name. We know how important a name is. The name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How important is that name to us? How important is that name to you? As far as the world is concerned, that name is a name that brings a lot of fond memories. From the world's standpoint, that name will bring forth public holidays. In Singapore, it will be the cordoning off of the Orchard Road. Tomorrow, please do not take public transport. 1 p.m. to 1 a.m., the whole of Orchard Road will be blocked off, where you'll find hundreds, if not thousands, of Singaporeans will be dancing in the streets of Singapore. If you are a retailer, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will bring dollars and cents. Hopefully, you're going to make big bucks during the Christmas season, trying to loosen the purse strings of many Singaporeans and Singapore visitors. To them, to the world, that is the name Jesus Christ. They will equate it with Santa Claus, Christmas tree, reindeer, in particular Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, snowflakes, chestnut roasting on the fire, all kinds of worldly images. And to the Christians, to us this morning, is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ a beautiful name to you? Why is it a beautiful name? Why this topic, that beautiful name? What is so beautiful about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? What does it conjure in your mind when you think of the Lord Jesus Christ? In Isaiah 9:6, we have the prophet Isaiah, by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, given to us a wonderful verse. They will give us three arguments why the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is a beautiful name. And the first argument is found in a fivefold description of that beautiful name, which is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. The name Jesus is Savior. The name Christ means anointed. The Hebrew term for Christ is Messiah, Mashiach. So when the two words are put together, Christ Jesus means the anointed Savior. Jesus Christ means Jesus, the Savior, is the anointed. Anointed by whom? Anointed by God Himself to be the Savior of the world. And in Isaiah 9:6, this beautiful name is expanded and elaborated upon for us by using the words Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Names have power. The word wonderful means a miracle-working name. If you turn to the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and study them in detail, you'll find that the Lord Jesus Christ, by the mere word of Christ, lepers were healed. Blind people were made whole. The lame walked again. Lazarus died, came back to life. He fed 4,000, 5,000 with a handful of loaves and fishes. He walked on water. He calmed the storm. He cast out those who were demon-possessed. His name is a miracle-working name. That's the meaning of wonderful. His name is full of wonder. It's a powerful name, and we understand the name, some names have power. Arguably, the most powerful man in the world today is the President of America. But that name changes depending on who is the president at the point in time. They get their power from the people when the people elected them as their president. And being a country with a lot of military might, that name therefore bears a lot of power in that name. He can give a command and Third World War could begin. The power in a name. But that power is man-made and that power is temporal. When President Bush's term of office ends, he loses his power. If he dies, he loses his power. His power is limited, it's temporal, it is given to him by man. We all understand power because our name has a degree of power, although that degree varies from person to person. If you are the CEO of a multi-billion dollar company, your name has power over that company. As a head of the home, your name at home has power, a certain degree of power. Your wife and children should listen to you. We all understand power. And here we have the Lord Jesus Christ, a wonderful name, a name that can control diseases, demons, the forces of nature, even death itself. A wonder working name, full of wonder. That's the meaning of wonderful. Counselor, full of wisdom, is able to guide us in life's journey. Turn to Proverbs 8, and you'll find that in this proverb, wisdom is personified like a person. Verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. By me kings reign, princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them, wisdom says, that love me. And those that seek me, that is wisdom, early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit, wisdom says, is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me, that is wisdom, to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, whatever the earth was. When there was no depth, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth, while as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. And my delights were the sons of men. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me hate wisdom, hate the Lord Jesus Christ, loveth death. Jesus Christ, he is the counselor. He is wisdom personified. In him, you're going to find life. You're going to find the pathway to heaven. He is able to give us all the directions we need under all the many, many testings and trials and difficult circumstances that life may throw at us. The Lord Jesus Christ is the answer. And in the Word of God, the Bible, you'll find all the answers, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the living Word, and the Word of God is the written Word. The Word of everlasting life, the Lord Jesus. He's wonderful, his counselor. And the Bible says he is also mighty God. He is all powerful. Hebrews 1 it says, but unto the Son he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. The mighty God himself is the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself becoming man. That beautiful name, the name of God himself, becoming man, walk amongst men, to live amongst men. And all these while when he was walking amongst men, rubbing shoulders with sinful men, it was Emmanuel, God with us. The beautiful name. The everlasting Father. In the Jewish culture and tradition, the everlasting Father could also be understood as the Father of eternity. And in a Hebrew way of writing, when you say the Father of strength, it means he is strong. It simply means that he who possesses a thing is called the Father of it. Father of knowledge, intelligence, Father of glory, glorious, Father of eternity, it simply means he is eternal. The everlasting Father, he is an eternal being, right from the very beginning, even before beginning had a beginning. The Lord Jesus Christ existed. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. In Revelations 1, 17 and 18, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, to John the apostle, I am the first and the last, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive evermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Eternal being. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, the everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace, Savior, the bringer of peace. The Savior, the one who will bring peace between us and God himself, between two brothers, two sisters, between parent and child, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. That beautiful name is Jesus Christ himself. A powerful name, a name that is wise, eternal, a name that brings peace. What about our names? If we call ourselves Christians, we reflect the character and the attribute of Christ. They are supposed to see Christ in us and glorify our Father who art in heaven, as the Lord Jesus Christ told the disciples in the Sermon on the Mount. They are not going to read the scriptures. They're going to read your life and my life as scriptures. And Jesus says, if we call ourselves Christians, they must see Christ in us. They must see the power of God in our lives. How we have been transformed. How the old man is dead and gone, is no more. How there is a new creation, a new man that blossoms forth from within us. How we now know that we have peace with God. And because we have peace with God, we can have peace with all men. For the Lord Jesus Christ became our peace when He came into this world, born of the Virgin Mary, nearly 2,000 years ago. He came into this world to die. We came into this world to live. The Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons of men may one day become the sons of God. That was His mission, the mission given to Him by God the Father Himself. This is Christmas. This is that beautiful name that you and I as God's children are supposed to hold dear. And that your life and my life must reflect that beautiful name, the power of God, the beauty of God, the wisdom of God. Does it? As we think of Christmas, let us think of our own lives. Is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ really beautiful to me, to us, truly, honestly? Because if it is, then it must be seen. Not just be heard from the lips of sinful men touched by the grace of God when we sing hymns, when we sing about holy light, holy night, silent night. But what about your life and my life? Does it truly reflect the name of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? Whenever they think of us, they will think how great and how wonderful a Christian he had been in our office. How his witness and his testimony will truly make me want to know more of this Jesus Christ that so and so loved so much. His life is a life of principle and no compromise. He seems to find an answer to all the struggles and trials and difficulties in life. Nothing seems to weigh him down. I see him praying constantly. I see the name of Christ so highly loved and adored by him. Is this how people look at your life and my life, or do they see hypocrisy? Do they see us holy and righteous only on Sunday? And not even the whole of Sunday, only that brief moment in time when we come into the church. Is it truly a beautiful name? For this beautiful name is Jesus Christ Himself. And He is not distant. The Bible says that beautiful name is with us. It's Emmanuel, God with us. You find this in the first part of Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. This beautiful name is with us. It is not deism that God created the world and then let the world to run on its own like someone wind up a clock and just let the clock tick on. God is in our midst. He gave us the Holy Word. He gave us His only begotten Son to walk in our midst. To live among us. He is with us, even right now. He is with you. Wherever you go as a child of God, the Holy Spirit of God indwells us. Wherever we are, we should walk a circumspect life. Whether we are here in Singapore, whether we are in the furthest corner of the world. If you are posted to China or in any part of Europe or Australia or America, be sure to live a holy and a righteous life. Don't just obey the Word of God as if God does not exist, as if God doesn't know, as if God is not with us. God is with us. He will never forsake us as God's children. He will never leave us comfortless. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on earth, he had to teach the disciples the importance of his name. He told the disciples when he sent them off in Mark chapter 6, verse 7 to 13, I don't want you to take anything with you. Don't take extra cash, don't take any cash, don't take an extra garment, don't take any weapon to protect yourself. I'm going to send you off. And the world is a wicked place. And when you go out, all you have is my name. Any home that will open the door to receive you in my name, you enter in. You give them the word. And when they came back, they realized how sufficient was the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. They were able to heal diseases in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, cast out demons. They were able to do so many things simply because they had the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't have anything with them. No home address, no pillow, no hotel to stay in, no money, nothing other than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The disciples had to understand and had to know that all you need in this life, in this world, is Jesus Christ and nothing else. Once they have learned this lesson, before the Lord was crucified, the Lord told them, before he died, you can take your purse, you can take an extra garment, you can take all these things. It is not in the possession of all these things. But it is the understanding of the sufficiency of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Peter was at the gate Beautiful in Acts 3, there was a beggar at the gate as he was about to enter the temple. And this beggar was begging for alms, for help. And Peter said, we all know that verse very well. Silver and gold have I none, but whatever I have, I give unto you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, take up your mat, rise up and walk. The power that is in the name that has been given to Christians, we have it. The power that is in the name. God with us. How important is this truth to us as Christians that God is with us? How important is this? To know that God is in your heart, God is with you every moment of your life. Even when you are asleep, the Lord never slumbers. He's with us. In Exodus 33, after Israel made the golden calf at the foot of Mount Sinai, when Moses was communing with God for 40 days and 40 nights, they became impatient and they crafted a golden calf through the gold that they gave to Aaron. And when Moses came down, Moses was so angry that he took the Ten Commandments and he broke it. And he took the golden calf and he ground it into powder and forced the wicked people to drink it. And because of what they did, thousands of Israelites died at the foot of Mount Sinai when the mountain was still quaking. Thunder and lightning with the presence, the physical presence of God. And on that mountain, God, a few days earlier, 40 days later, gave them the Ten Commandments. They heard the audible voice of God. And despite all these, they sinned against God. To them, the name of the Lord was not beautiful at all. They created it with a golden calf. But to Moses, the servant of God, it was tremendous. Because in chapter 33, God said to Moses, the people that you lead, they are so stiff-necked, I cannot go with them. If I go with them, I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to send an angel instead. And you know what Moses said to the Lord? Moses said to God, if you are not going with us, an angel accompanying us is a very poor substitute. You said that we have found grace in your sight. And all we want is the fact that you are with us. If you are not with Israel, what is the difference between us and all the Gentile nations? Is it not in the fact that you are with us? And if you are not with us, Moses said, I'm not interested in the promised land. I don't want to go any further. I want to stay put here in the wilderness, not interested in the promised land if you are not going with us. To Moses, the presence of God, Emmanuel, to him was everything. And that was what the Lord wanted to impart to the disciples when he told them, when he sent them off with absolutely nothing but his name. Did the Lord Jesus Christ not promise us the same thing when He gave us the Great Commission? We remember Matthew 28, verse 18 and 19, but very often we forget Matthew 28, verse 20. Jesus says, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. We have more head knowledge than Moses had because we have the completed Bible. Moses had the Pentateuch, 5 books. We have 66 books of the Bible, but in terms of the experiential knowledge that Moses had with God, he far exceeds all of us. He understood the importance of God with him. Very seldom do we realize how great and how marvelous a promise it is for Jesus Christ to say that I will be with you. I'm not going to send an angel. I myself, I will be with you all the way, even unto the end of the world. I will be with you. I will be there for you when you are sick, when you are facing retrenchment, when your child has an accident, whatever it is, whatever life circumstances, no matter how painful, no matter how difficult. That beautiful name, Emmanuel, is Emmanuel, God with us. Is He with you? Do you know Him as your Lord and as your Savior? Do you truly know Him in your heart that He is truly my Lord and my Savior? If you were to die right now, you know without a shadow of doubt, based upon God's promise, that you will be in heaven. That beautiful name is a name when God says, you can ask whatever you will in my name. John 14:13 and 14. I will do it in prayer in Jesus' name. It is not a magical formula. Please do not just use the name of Christ like Alibaba used the phrase open sesame. You know open sesame? When Alibaba watched the 40 thieves shouted the word open sesame and the great door opened and he entered in and they entered in where they had all the hidden treasure. And then before they left, close sesame and the door would just cover up the mouth of the cave. And then after they left, Alibaba went up and then Alibaba said, open sesame and the door open. Anybody can shout open sesame and the door will open. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ is not a magic name. If you do not know God and God does not know you in a personal way as a father and son relationship, you can use the name of Jesus Christ all you want and nothing will happen. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. There was an incident in the book of Acts, in Acts 19, where there were some wicked people trying to play the fool with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 19 verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. So these 7 sons of this Jew, whose name was Sceva, he was the chief of the priests. And so they thought that they were some big shot. We are children of the priests. We will use the name Jesus Christ and do exorcism, cast out demons. Because of who we are somebody. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. It is a beautiful name because it means God with us. And if you do not know Him and He does not know you intimately like a father and a son, a father and a daughter, that name will not be beautiful to you. Not at all. But if you truly know Him as your Lord and your Savior, it means God with us, Emmanuel, God with you. And God will always be there for you to comfort you, no matter how tired the whole world may be. Everybody may be sleeping and you can't sleep. You're in bed 2, 3 a.m. in the morning, tossing, turning, because you seem to have the weight of the world's problems on your shoulders. you cry to the Lord and the Lord will be there. Because the Bible says, I will give my beloved sleep, God says. You commit all the cares and the burdens to Him. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will protect and guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. The power that is in that name, God with us. And He is with God's children. You cry to Him. You bring all your praises, your petitions to God the Father through Jesus Christ. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. For our sake, to remind us that we now praise the Lord. Praise the one living and true God. Not because of who we are, not because we have given tithe and offering. But simply because we have been washed by the blood of Christ. We have accepted Jesus Christ into our heart and our Lord and our Savior. And we come before Him, begging His grace and His mercy. And we bring before Him our praises, our petitions, our needs, through Jesus Christ, for His sake. Hear my cry. Hear my prayer, O Lord, for Jesus' sake. Hear my cry. Hear my prayer. Defend that beautiful name. Not your name, not my name. How very often when we go to work, when people slander our pitiful name, I want to sue you, my pitiful name. Our name, your name, my name, why do you want to bother to protect? Waste time, waste money. You know why? Can anyone go to heaven by believing in your name? Can? Can your name open the doors and the gates of heaven? The Lord Jesus Christ's name can. Not your name, not my name. Turn the other cheek. They want to say all kinds of terrible things against us, by all means. Defend the name of the Lord Jesus Christ even unto death. But not your name, not my name, please. We must decrease, Christ must increase. When they think of us, they must think of Christ. When they see us, they must see Christ in us. We must be no more and Christ must dominate and He must rule and reign. In your life and in my life, defend that name. Because that name to you is a beautiful name because it means God with us. It is the name Jesus Christ, the anointed Savior. He is wonderful. He is counselor. He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace to me, to you. Defend that name. Love that name. At whatever cost, don't let them make fun of that name. If your big boss suddenly shouted out as a swear word, Jesus Christ, and you as an employee, what should you do? Put your head down and keep quiet? Or should you say, excuse me, sir, I'm a Christian and I love that name. Please do not use that name as a swear word. What is the worst that he can do to you? Fire you, so be it. You who honor the Lord Jesus Christ, God says, I will honor. Defend that name. Are you prepared? Don't let anyone bring shame to that name. David says that he is prepared to defend that name. When people make a mockery of the name of God, he will defend that name. Come what may. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thy enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. That was the intensity of the heart of the man of God who loved God, King David. He was not interested in his own name. His wife could not understand. When David brought the Ark of God into Jerusalem, the capital city, which he wanted to make it into the spiritual and religious city of the whole of Israel, that's why the Ark of God must be brought in. And when he found out the correct way of bringing the Ark in, he was dancing, and the Bible said he danced naked. And his wife Michal stood from the window of their palace and looked down and saw the king dancing like a commoner. She was so angry. How can my husband, the king, I'm the queen, how can he humiliate himself and dance like a commoner like the rest of them? He must have his royal robe on. And when he came back, when David came back, she was upset and angry with King David. because he reduced himself to nothing in front of God. He became like all the rest of the people of Israel.
David told the wife, I'm prepared to do even far, far more in humbling myself before God Almighty. David understood. Moses understood. And they have far, far less knowledge of the Word of God. We have 66 books of the Word of God that will teach us about that beautiful name. But do we have the heart response, the felt response, that should be directly proportional to the 66 books of the complete Bible that we have? You defend the Word, praise the Lord, but do we obey the Word? Do we love it? Do we study it? Do we read it? Do we memorize it? Because if the name of Jesus Christ is beautiful to us, it means God with us. Live it out. Let it be seen by our life. That beautiful name. Not your name, not my name. That beautiful name. And 30, in Isaiah 9, 6, that beautiful name is King. Is King. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government, that is the rule, the dominion, shall be upon his shoulder. And of the increase of his government, verse 7, and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal, that is the jealousy of the Lord of hosts, will perform this, will bring it to pass. That beautiful name is King and will be King one day, where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess him as Lord. Philippians 2 verse 10 and verse 11. Today, what brought you to church? Is it because it is a ritual? It is because, well, my mom and my dad. Because I have nothing better to do. Sometimes we drag our feet. Sometimes we rather lie in bed because of the cool weather. It's been raining and it's so cool and nice. Although it's 10:30 a.m., it's still too early. We just make coming to church a ritual. Meaningless. We just go through the motion. We just sing the hymns through the motion. We listen to the choir, go through the motion. The Lord's Supper goes through the motion. Everything is just going through the motion. It doesn't touch us. It doesn't mean anything to us anymore. Because it's free. It's free. The many Christians in Russia, they have to worship in the woods, 1, 2 a.m. in the morning. And they can't even sing hymns at the top of their voices because they cannot be heard by the enemy. They have to hide. And very often, that Sunday could most likely be the last Sunday the pastor will preach to his congregation, because they never know when they will be betrayed and be arrested. And when they are arrested, everything will be taken away. And so for them to be able to worship as a congregation of God's people was very precious. Are we here to worship the King of Kings, knowing that we are part of a government of God that will be eternal, that will rule the new heaven and new earth for all eternity? And we make up that citizens, we will be there to reign and to rule with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says, heir and co-heirs with Christ. But we look at ourselves and we behave and we conduct ourselves as if we have not been saved. As if we are not worshipping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Lord Jesus Christ, that beautiful name, is the King of the whole world. He is not only your King. He is the King of the whole world. Even the whole world may not acknowledge it. But one day, when Jesus Christ returns, every knee will bow, whether they like it or not, they will bow. And every tongue will confess, whether they like it or not, they will confess. The unbelievers, they will confess him as Lord before they will be sent to the lake of fire. But that they will confess. And this same God is the one that we worship today. Hopefully, all of us willingly, cheerfully, happily, because we love him. Because that name truly is not just that beautiful name. He is my beautiful name. Your beautiful name. He means everything to me.
He is my Savior, my Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. The name that I want to uphold, the name that I'm prepared to defend, I'm going to live for. No more myself, but that name, that beautiful name. Do we really mean it this Christmas? Not just Christmas, but it should be every day of our lives. That beautiful name is Jesus Christ, the anointed Savior. That beautiful name is Emmanuel, God with us. That beautiful name is King, the ruler of the whole world. For all eternity, He will rule and He will reign forever and ever. Out of the Ten Commandments, commandment number 3 says, thou shalt not take God's name in vain. Why must God command us? Study the Ten Commandments and you'll realize that these are our 10 weaknesses, the greatest weaknesses of God's people. The tendency to take God's name in vain. The tendency to steal, to bear false witness, tendency to commit adultery. So we have commandments from God. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not commit adultery. And we have the tendency to bring shame to the name of Christ, to use it in vain. And so the commandment says, take not God's name in vain. And for the Jews, they took it literally. When they copy the word of God, the scribes, when they come to the name Elohim, they will stop copying. They will copy all the words. And when it comes to Elohim, they will stop. They will wash their hands, and then they'll come back, and then they'll write Elohim. When it comes to the name Jehovah, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, Jehovah, which in the King James is translated capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the Lord, they will not only wash their hands, they will take an entire shower, they will wash their whole body, and then they'll come and copy down that name. But their life was a life of idolatry. Don't just give God lip service. Let it be by our lives. Let it truly be a beautiful name, a name that we honor, the name that we adore, the name that we love. That whenever we think of the name, we know that He is my Savior. My beautiful name, the name Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. He is my King, my Lord, my Redeemer, my Sustainer, my Provider. That beautiful name to us. Don't take it in vain. It is more than just sticking behind the trunk of our car. Honk if you love God. It's more than just wearing a necklace with platinum or gold around our neck. It's more than just putting some sticker in our home or plaque. It's your life. Your life. The moment you say, I am a Christian, live as one, that they may see Christ in us and glorify our Father who art in heaven. And let them see that beautiful name. No more your name, no more my name. Christmas season is Christ. It's that beautiful name. You see your name? That beautiful name is Jesus Christ. How much does it mean to you? Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, for the name, for the person behind the name Jesus Christ, for Thou hast sent Him into this world to die for our sins, to die for my sins. O Lord, our God, be ever gracious and merciful, to help us realize, O Lord, how easily many of us living in this world have taken the name of Christ in vain. And we defend our own name more than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive us, O Lord. Wash us of all our sins by the precious blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For truly, it is a beautiful name. It is Emmanuel. It is our Savior. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we pray, Father, even during this season of Christmas, may each and every one whom Thou hast brought into this sanctuary this morning realize and understand and know that Jesus Christ is our Savior and our Lord. And that name is beautiful, the Lord's name. Help us to know that He is my Lord, my Savior,
May thou be ever gracious and merciful to indeed make this a blessed and a wonderful Christmas, where his name will always dominate my name. His name must increase and my name decrease. For Jesus' sake, O Lord, may thou hear our humble cry. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we give thanks and pray. Amen.